Welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, with our guest today, Elizabeth Jenko-Purvis, whom I am very excited to host here at the Conscious Business Telesummit. So before we begin and dive into our conversation, let's just take a moment. If you've been seated all day, just stand and place your feet hip-width and just take a nice deep breath. And on the exhale, just relax your shoulders, soften your knees, and just feel yourself just fully coming into right now, feeling the press of your feet against the floor, the arch of your feet not quite on the floor, reminding you that you are both physical and spaciousness. And so just allow yourself to open to the bandwidth of new things that are coming into your awareness. Today we have an extraordinary guest, someone who's been really rocking and rolling, who's I've been on her list, her mailing list, and she is extraordinary. And so she's going to be sharing with us things that you need to know about attracting clients, things that you can implement right away and put into practice and put into play and have your business coming online and sparkling up and just expanding into more of what you're ready for and more of what the world is ready for from you. So thank you, everyone, for being here. Take another nice deep breath and exhale. And as you exhale, just feel yourself relaxing into the sensation of this moment and feeling yourself more fluid, more permeable, and knowing that you're going to get all kinds of things here today and things that you're ready for. And we're going to have a blast while we're doing it. So our topic today is five secrets to attracting all the clients you need to create a soul-based business you love. And our invited guest today is Elizabeth Jenko-Purvis, also known as the Marketing Goddess. I love that term. And she teaches solo business owners how to attract an abundance of clients, income, and satisfaction in their business, at the same time staying true to your values. And she's the creator of the Abundant Business System, a step-by-step marketing system specifically for purpose-driven business owners and conscious entrepreneurs. And you can learn more about Elizabeth at marketinggoddess.com. And I must say, Elizabeth, that, you know, as much as, you know, I am info-glutted and everyone is info-glutted nowadays, your newsletter is one of the most rocking newsletters I have ever read.
Oh, thank you so much. That really means, that just means the world to me. I put a lot of effort into my newsletter. It's the primary communication I have with my tribe. And actually, you know, I'll talk a little bit about this on the call today. And, you know, I really see it as a way for me to show up and give value on a regular basis and really maintain that connection with people. It's so gratifying to do, and it's also incredibly gratifying to know that it's having an impact. So thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you, because, you know, when I went to Kendall's event in October, I went knowing that I wanted to meet you because of your newsletter.
Wow.
Because I felt I already knew you, and I was like, oh, my God, I have to meet this woman. I want to interview her. You know, and what's wonderful for me was that, you know, you said some really sweet things about me in your newsletter when you were inviting folks to this event. And I was like saying, because you were saying, you know, that I was authentic and warm. I'm like, well, isn't that funny? Because those are the very same qualities that I love about Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Because, you know, a lot of the thing that this, you're like a perfect example. You're modeling so much about what this relationship marketing is all about, what attraction marketing is all about. You're very authentic. You're completely transparent. You know, you're kick-ass when you need to be, and you reveal things about yourself and your business, which really helps the person who's reading, you know, your members, your readers, really open up and expand to a new way of seeing and being. So I just wanted to say that, you know, like the strategies that you teach work, because the reason that we're here having this conversation is the result.
Yeah, no, it's really true.
The result of it.
You know, thank you again for that so much. And I'll share, and this is a great segue into our conversation, which I'm sure is going to veer off in all kinds of different directions. But, you know, I'm like this because I can't be any other way. And I think that I think that a lot of folks also feel, you know, a lot of folks in the conscious entrepreneur community also really feel like they can't be any other way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the struggle sometimes is that I think that sometimes goes entirely against what we've been told, what we've been taught, you know, all the way from, like, the current, you know, marketing guru, like, in his big launch telling us what to do to make $1 billion, back to, you know, the high school English teacher who, you know, tells you how to write and be correct with your grammar and all that, which I just, you know, I write like I talk, and I always have. And, you know, what I hope to do is inspire people to know that not only is it okay to be yourself in your marketing, it's actually like, it's like the super juice that, like, attracts the right people to you,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
It really is just so, so important. And, you know, I think, too, what I guess another thing I want to say on this point is that you don't have to be scared. I mean, a lot of my, you know, when I coach my clients on this, they don't know where the line is, you know, or they kind of go, oh, well, I'm afraid to say this or that, and can I really say that, and is that going to be helpful or a hindrance or whatever? And, you know, again, I'll be transparent. I certainly am very careful is not the right word, but mindful of what I share, you know. It's all deliberately chosen, not in a, like, a weird, crafty way, but just in a, like, a mindfulness way. And with the caveat that I really go at it with the belief that I can't screw up, if that makes any sense. Like, I can't say something that is so awful or so whatever that my whole business, like, comes down, you know? And that gives me a lot of freedom to be myself and to allow mistakes to be okay, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that is a consequence of the relationships that you build.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's so funny because I just got a call from one of my speakers. And she hadn't sent me, you know, the blurb for the for our conversation. And it's so hysterical because she called me and she said, Adela, I knew you, of all people, would be totally okay with me, but I'm just letting you know I'm sending it now.
And I'm like,
cool, listen, so long as we've got it the day before so that I'm letting people know exactly what we're talking about, you know, we have the topic, but just so that people have, you know, a sense of it. But that's what happens when you create a real relationship with your readers, with your prospects, with your clients, is that there's a different level of, there's a different latitude and there's a different level of relationship.
Yeah. And I find it much more gratifying. You know what I mean? Like, I find it, it's like, what a sense of relief that you don't have to go walking around on tiptoes in your marketing, you know? And that you don't have to censor yourself and you don't have to, like, you know, I don't know, feel like you have to create this picture that isn't reflective of how you're feeling or isn't accurate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing I want to mention is, you know, one of the things that I've noticed about conscious entrepreneurs is that they're multi-talented. Like for you, like you're a writer also. You write,
mm-hmm.
What is it, comic books or?
Yeah, I write graphic novels, yeah.
It's comic, like,
books, yes, I do. My medium is like words and pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, and here you are, this marketing goddess that, you know, has built an extraordinary business and also someone who's highly intuitive and who's got like this exquisite skill set and personality. And so I really want to point that out to folks, that your being, your unique, quirky, different self is what's so attractive.
Yeah. And there was something here in relation to the relationship marketing that I was going to, that's along these lines, but it'll come back to me. But yeah, here it is. Well, people want to connect with real people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people want to connect with people that are just like them. And I think that in terms of the multi-talented, multifaceted, I think every conscious entrepreneur that I know of has gone through the, you know, I've got a billion different things that I do really well. What do I do? How can I choose just one?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's tripped me up for, oh, gosh, a long time, you know? And it's like people can really relate to that, you know? Very, very, it creates that relationship. again. It's another one of those things that feeds into the relationship you create with people.
Yeah. So I know that I've got loads of questions. And I'm going to urge folks that if you've got questions, do not wait till the last 5 minutes on the call to put the questions through, because we're not going to get to them. You know, sometimes what happens is people will email me later, and I'm not the expert on that particular topic, even though, you know, I've got a range of expertise also. But you don't want to miss your opportunity to ask the person that's being interviewed your questions, especially specifically around your business, your challenges, the things that you're facing. Because you're going to notice that there are through lines, that there are questions that keep coming up over and over again. And what's really cool is that on this quest and on this telesummit, you can ask the same question of different people. And that's really going to enrich your experience, and it's going to give you a lot of information and a lot of juice to pull from. So submit your questions. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on getting Elizabeth to help you out here. So I know that you have this wonderful content that you're going to really share with us about the 5 secrets to attracting clients. And do we want to start diving in?
Yeah, sure. I just figured we would run through each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a bonus one at the end because I like to over-deliver.
Yeah.
Yeah. So secret number one, can I just jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
And, you know, feel free to jump in and riff on this with me and share your thoughts and stuff. And of course, anytime anyone wants to stop for a question, that's great. Okay, so secret number one is to really get clear on your what and your why, to get tapped into your vision. And, you know, I know that this is talked about a lot, this idea of being clear on your vision, right? So if we've, you know, study law of attraction or manifestation, which I spend a lot of time thinking about working with and now teaching, you know that you have to have a clear vision. And, you know, that's not like the picture piece, kind of like, okay, this is what I want to create, is one part that's really important. But I think even more important, you know, a more important reason to have this vision is that why. Because when you're really tapped into this emotional reason why you're doing something, it allows you to push past any kind of resistance that comes up, get back on track, and really stay aligned with your purpose. And, you know, this actually, I was reminded of this literally just earlier, last week. I had been, you know, Adela, as you know, I went out to Portland to look for our new place to live. My husband and I are moving cross country. And I felt a lot of resistance around, like, I know the next thing's on my marketing calendar and the next thing I want to do. And I'll be totally upfront. I was like, man, this is feeling like slogging through mud. What is all this resistance about? And I couldn't kind of figure out, like, how to shift out of it, to be honest. And then I always like to go back to basics, and I was listening to some calls with other coaches, because I love to get on calls with other coaches, because I'm a nerd for good coaching. Adela, I know you are too.
Oh, yeah.
I love listening to good coaching. It's like, wow, give me more of that. And this other coach was talking about the vision and the what are you doing this for and why. And I was like, immediately, I had this breakthrough. I was like, hello, I can't sit still now, you know? So really getting clear on the emotional reasons behind why you're building your practice. What is important to you? Why are you helping the people that you want to help? Why are you teaching them how to do the things that you're doing with them? I mean, for me, really what I love to do is teach spirit-led entrepreneurs how to receive generous income for their gifts without feeling guilty about it. And because I know that when they are well cared for, they can turn around and do anything. Really, you know?
Yeah.
And that really, really excites me to help people make that shift, you know? So when you have that emotional peace, it just makes things so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like we were talking about this earlier with Suzanne Evans, another Northeastern person, another Northeastern kick-ass coach, and she talks a lot about making your mess your message, and you know, and about you know, starting a movement. And one of the mistakes that we make a lot of times, conscious entrepreneurs, is, you know, we go into the programs without really, and setting up business and setting up shop without really having a solid foundation in the power source. The power source is this what and why. I mean, it's the driving force of, like, why are you doing this? Because unless you have that fuel, you're not going to be able to ride through the resistance and the bumps that come up. This has been one of my realizations that, you know, if you want an accelerated pathway to personal evolution, start a business.
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to, right?
Man, yeah.
That's like the fast track. You're going to run into all the things that keep you small.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you address them, your business will not prosper. It won't flourish. And so unless you've got that power source, which is this what and why that you're talking about, you can't really move.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And there's another important reason here, actually, that it's really important to be clear on your what and your why and the vision, because it helps you make the right decision. You know, we have so many different choices about who to listen to, who to give access to our brain, who to model, whose programs to take, like what activities to engage in. I mean, every day, I've been really thinking a lot about this idea that, you know, our lives are essentially made up of a series of choices that we make in the moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And those choices are really important. And ultimately, either you can make a choice or a decision that pulls you towards your vision or away from it. And if you're not hooked into that vision, you know, something else is going to be making the choices. Your ego, old patterns, hindbrain, you know, all these other things. So it's really important to have that vision piece in place so you can stay on track.
Yeah, and you talked about this. I'm telling you, I love your e-zine. You were talking about the guru train. Right? And so one of the things that you were saying, this is the other thing too, is like, whose vision is it that you're living into? Is it yours?
Yeah.
Right? Can you speak a little bit to that? I loved that article.
Yeah. Actually, this is sort of part of my story. You know, very briefly, what happened with me is I quit my job to become a writer, and I really thought that, okay, I'm going to go write comics, I'm going to write fiction, and you know what? There's no doubt in my mind I could have been super hella successful doing that, no question, right? Which is a different sort of mindset because, you know, most people go into that and go, I can't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a story out there that it's impossible to be a writer, essentially, which I think is crap. So anyway, that's slightly diversion. But what happened to me is I realized, you know, I want to do this other thing. And I started as a copywriter. I discovered coaching and was like, holy cow, this coaching is fantastic, right? And I want to do more of this. And I have to be in conversation and information products, like just get all my creative juices going. So, but like everybody else, I had to build my business. And was struggling and scared, and who the heck am I to be talking about this, and oh, gee, I can't do this. And I was following a billion people. I have a direct marketing and copywriting background, and, you know, so I was following all the big internet marketers, like the really big guys. And all their copywriting techniques would work on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was constantly spending money out of fear and out of like, oh my gosh, if I don't get this program, if I don't take this guy's thing, if I don't like do this, like my business is doomed. You ever felt that way?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so meanwhile, I'm going further and further in the hole and just feeling it wasn't, you know, the money piece was one thing. Like, I believe me, I've had to clean up a lot of stuff around my money mindset, manifestation, how I work with money, all these things. But even worse than that was the feeling desperate. And I realized, you know, this desperation is coming from the fact that I'm, like, grabbing at anything. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. This is not working. I have to get off the guru train. I have to get off the guru train because I'm actually a really good implementer. I'm not one of those folks who, like, buys a bunch of stuff and then it sits. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've always, and in fact, you know, I bootstrapped my way in a big way when I finally did find when I finally did decide on a mentor. And, you know, I didn't have money for her $10,000 coaching program, you know, or whatever. I couldn't have imagined that possibility, you know. And so I totally pulled myself up by my bootstraps. But I had to decide that I had to really commit to following and implementing and working closely with one person's system. And that meant really getting in touch with what her vision was and making sure it was in alignment with where I wanted to go, because that was another thing that got lost in, like, all this, like, you know, running around like a chicken with my head cut off, you know. Looking back now, I don't think that most of the people I was following with really had a greater vision, to be honest. You know, they had fantastic techniques and technology and information, but I couldn't tell you their vision, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people I follow now, I know exactly what their mission is. And, you know, what they put forth publicly, not to be presumptuous, right? But they're very open about their vision and their mission. And, you know, it's like it's very, very, it feeds me as well, you know. It's like the vision is spreading to everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, so shall we go on to secret number two?
Yeah, let's go on to secret number two.
All right, let me take a little sip of water here. I'm really enjoying this, by the way, Adela. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Okay. Secret number two is to use your power of choice. Now, this might not be like something you thought about when it comes to marketing your business, but, you know, this is something that jumped out at me at the very beginning when I was like, I noticed this. For whatever reason, it got stuck in my brain, even at the outset, you know, when I very first started teaching this kind of stuff. And that is that you get to pick. In marketing, you get to pick. You have the power of choice. And that is one of the reasons why I really find marketing to be empowering, really. So when I say you get to pick, you get to, you can write these down if you've got some paper, you know, near you. You get to choose your clients, that is who you want to work with. You get to choose your positioning, which is how clients perceive you. You get to choose your boundaries, which is how your clients and others treat you. I had a fantastic workshop with my Marketing and Manifestation Mastermind Goddesses today, and we were talking about you get to choose your fees, you know?
Mm.
So much in your business is a matter of choice, not chance. Right? You get to design what you want your business to look like, who you want to work with. And, you know, this can be a real mindset shift for practitioners and conscious entrepreneurs because, you know, I've heard a lot of frustrations like, oh, they won't pay for it. You know, no one's going to buy that. I can't charge that because so-and-so isn't. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't let that email go for a day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, you know, whether it's conscious or not, you're making all these choices, right? We're getting back to choice again. And whether it's conscious or not, you get to choose your clients. So choose the ones you want to work with, you know? So, you know, if you're running into problems or issues consistently, it's like things are, like, just not working, you can make another choice. And the beautiful thing about marketing is just so much is within your control. You get to choose how you're put out in the world. You know, you have to learn how to be visible, too, and be comfortable being visible. But you get to have a lot of control over how you want your business to develop. And the really cool thing is when you really make those choices from a place of abundance and your mission and what you truly want, the universe starts to respond to you. So, yeah, that's secret number two is to choose. And I actually have, let me see here. Well, okay, I'm getting myself back on track. Another choice that's really within your control here, and we're talking about this and on the idea of what you put yourself forward as, is you get to choose what I call your positioning. So your positioning is how others see you in relation to everybody else. So do you want to be just another coach or just another organizer or just another astrologer? Do you want to stand out apart from anybody else? It's like you have all these tools at your disposal to make sure that people see you as you want to be seen. And I actually have four tools in particular that I can share with you on how you can do this. Would that be okay?
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Is this kind of hitting home or making sense as we're talking here? I know I'm kind of...
Absolutely. I'm trying not to dive in too much because I know there's a lot to cover, but just go for it. We could easily talk for 4 hours.
We totally could. Let me just run through these four really quickly, and then I would love to get your thoughts on this whole idea of choosing. So here are four tools that you can use to really create the positioning, impactful positioning that you want. So putting yourself out there in a way that is really true to you. And again, this is where the authenticity comes back in again. So your niche or niche is one of them. And all that is the problem you solve and who you solve it for. And, this isn't a class on niche. I won't dive into this too deeply, but for those who kind of stress out about this, and I think a lot of us do, I mean, I certainly did, the one thing I'll say that I want everyone to get and really understand is your niche is the doorway. That's all. It's like a way to be seen. It's like a way to get people engaged with you. It's not the end-all, be-all, I think of it as like turning the light on in a darkened room. So whereas before you were just kind of shouting at anybody, now you've got just the light on and you can be seen. And it doesn't limit you in any way in that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a really nice way to put it, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when I think of it that way, it takes all the pressure off. Because there's no limitation there. There's no like, oh my gosh, do I get to do what I want to do? Yeah, absolutely. It's just a way to bring people into your world. I really see it. That's really how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm a little bit different than other marketing coaches in this respect, but it works really well for me and for my clients in that, it's a way for you to be visible and seen. And then, it's a marketing tool, really. So that's one. Another one is your unique service position. Adele, you've undoubtedly heard of the USP or the unique selling proposition or whatever.
Yeah, I like your twist.
Yeah, well, I have to credit one of my clients for that. She came up with that. That was her thing. When she said it, it was in the very first workshop I taught at the Reader Studio in 2008. And she was like, my client Anastasia, she's like, your unique service position. I'm like, oh. That feels so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is just the answer to the question, why should someone choose to do business with you over every other option out there, including doing nothing? This is really key. And actually, it's funny, I have to laugh at myself because I just said, it's just the answer to this question. And it's actually a pretty deep question, and it's a question that you answer over time. So it's not something that you get stuck on. It's just something, it's a tool for you to really hone and refine over time. Why should someone choose to do business with you over every other option out there, including doing nothing? So that's the tool number two. Another one is your credibility. So how trustworthy you are perceived, how much, the training you have, the skills you have, all those things. And the cool thing about credibility, again, it can be built. You have control over it. It's really quite a powerful experience to build your own credibility by doing things like taking courses, writing articles, getting testimonials. It's like this is a thing that you build yourself. And the last tool here is your story, so the information that you share about yourself. Did Suzanne say that your mess is your message? Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I love Suzanne.
I know, I do too.
Yeah, she's absolutely right because, it's your mess that people want to hear about and they really want to understand that you've been where they are,
mm-hmm.
So those four things on choosing, how you choose your positioning, your niche, your unique service position, your credibility, and your story. So, Adela, I would love to hear some of your thoughts on all this stuff I've been riffing on for the past 5 minutes.
Well, the thing that I've mentioned this quote before, and it's one that I live by. It's like a mantra for me, and it's by Gary Zukav, and it's choice is the engine of your evolution. And the thing, I think, one of the mistakes that we make in business starting off, and I know I did this plenty of times, is that I almost thought that the things that I had done were final. Oh my God, I'm going to make this choice and then I'm going to be really messed up if things don't work out. And you know what's wonderful about this is just like changing your clothes, you know. This is what's wonderful about being a conscious entrepreneur is that you have the ability, not only the ability, you have the responsibility, first of all, to track what you're doing to see what's working and what's not working, and then to make a different choice. Because the choices that you make just show you, okay, all right, that didn't work, right? And then the other thing that gets refined with this that I really adore, which really is about the attraction piece, is that after a while, you don't even need to experientially make a lot of choice, make a lot of the wrong choices anymore, because you intuitively start sensing and knowing. No, you get your what I call your yes and your no very clearly. And so you really start getting a clearer idea of what's a good fit for you in terms of clients. Like in the beginning, I know that with clients, I had very, limited, criteria. Basically, they were living, they were breathing, they were willing to pay. It was yes. You know, and a lot of that is driven, again, you were talking about desperation a little earlier, and a lot of that in the beginning for me was about this sense of desperation of like, well, am I going to, you know, have enough clients? So I have to say yes. And realizing that the wrong clients, that the folks that aren't a good fit for you, first of all, you can't show up brilliantly. And you're not the vehicle for their breakthrough and their transformation either. Because you're not for them either. So actually, you're wasting both your time and not making the choice that's going to be a choice for everyone's expansion, for everyone's movement. And but those are the kinds of things that after enough of those experiences, you get it, and you're like, you can easily say no because you can sense and you know that's not a good fit. It won't work. Yeah, and everything from clients to, you know, collaborations to, you know, whether it's an article or choosing a networking group or a master, it can be anything in your business. But the more so the more that you exercise the responsibility of your choice, the more that all of these things become clearer and your business and you evolve.
Yeah, and what I love about what you're saying here, I'll just put a shine a spotlight this on this here, is that the, you know, the speed at which this happens is up to you. Because the more that you make these choices in the beginning, as like weird and awkward and as painful as they may be, the easier that they get. And then you develop that intuitive sense. And, you know, it is about stepping out in faith at first. You know? One of my mentors likes to point, you know, she really got me to understand that being a successful entrepreneur was about really being able to make choices based on what I couldn't see. And it's having that faith in like, okay, I'm going to let this client go and there's going to be another one, you know. It's having that faith in that like, okay, I can press send on this autoresponder and the world isn't going to collapse. I may lose 20 like, you know, subscribers, but you know what? They weren't in my tribe to begin with. So it's having that faith in yourself and also faith in however you call the divine source that we're all tapped into and is our co-creator here. And the last thing I'll say on this, just on a real practical note, is that I love what you said, Adela, about you know, getting to choose your marketing again. It's like a lot of people get really, this is a way that they get stuck, is stay stuck. It's like they're churning because, like, they want their website to be perfect and da-da-da. Guess what? You're always going to be redoing your marketing. Always. It's never done. So you can relax and, like, be okay with it being imperfect and know that as you grow and change, your marketing is going to grow right along with you, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, we've got questions and we've got some stuff stirring up. I can tell you that.
Okay, great.
Do you want to cover the third one and then we'll go into questions because I want to make sure that we cover them all.
Yeah, and I will zip through secret number three. There's actually quite a bit here, but I'm going to zip through it here. Secret number three is become a client magnet. And this sounds a little vague, but what I mean there is to adopt you know, certain practices, strategies, techniques that make you really client attractive and pull clients to you instead of chasing them. So a few here that I'll share, we've touched on some already. Your positioning, right, how other people perceive you, creating a website and marketing materials that draw people in and make them want to know more and inspires them to take action. It's another thing, very attractive. Always be answering the question, what's in it for them? What's in it for your clients? Like, you got to let people know why they should be working with you and what they're going to get. Creating incredible value. And, you know, that is about structuring your offerings so they're irresistible to your clients. And it's also about really showing up and providing value in the world on a daily basis through things like your newsletter, through the way that you interact with people on Twitter, through the way, you know, you answer questions and pass things along and share resources and connect people, you know, like you're so good at doing, Adela, which leads right into number five here, which is creating connection. Connection and authenticity in marketing, I really believe, comes from making the single shift of taking the focus off of you and putting the focus on your piece. So it's not about, you know, who wants to buy my stuff. It's about, I've got something really amazing that can make a difference in your life, and I will be honored to share it with you. Very, very different. And it really makes the difference between feeling awkward and feeling really confident when you start talking about what you do, like when you're at networking events. So creating connection. That's also about reaching out and connecting with your clients often. So, you know, not building a list and then not communicating with it for, you know, a month or whatever. That's something I harp on a lot, actually. All my peeps on the line know that I'm really, really big on, you know, keeping the conversation going. Let's see, what else? Sharing your passion. That's another thing that's very, very magnetic to clients. It's like, you know, people can tell when you're passionate about something. They can tell when you're passionate about what you do and that you're passionate about them. I like to say that passion is the fuel that makes your business go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing that's really client attractive, the last tip here on this piece, is about providing a really incredible experience. You know, what's the experience that people have when they work with you? And that really goes from everything from, you know, what happens when someone emails you out of the blue, to your newsletter, to the actual working with you when you're providing your service.
Yeah, it's interesting. A couple of things that you're mentioning there, and I think this relates to the question that Andrea from New York is asking. Andrea, this is her comment. I keep hearing over and over again that you have to be different and stand out from the crowd, but why do a lot of the marketing people sound the same? They all say the exact same thing. Interesting. We already know we need a niche. How is that a secret? And I'd love for you to respond to that, and I also have my own comments around that. Elizabeth.
Let me just make sure I understand the question. So we all sound, the question is if we need to stand out, we all sound the same. Like, I just want to make sure I really understand.
Yeah, I think that this person, Andrea, and Andrea, you can clarify your question a little bit more if you'd like, but I think that there's, in this question, I mean, this is a marketing telesummit, and there are, for me, I'll just start off with my comments first off, and then I might clarify yours, Elizabeth. One of the things that I've noticed in these telesummits, that I can have a lot of different people on here, on these telesummits, and you will notice that there is a through line of information. And though each speaker may be different and may have even sometimes a different topic or a different area that they're covering, you will hear some of the same things over and over again. And mm-hmm. So that to me is not about, you know, standing out and being different. That's a through line, which is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
yeah,
for me, I don't know if that helps you, Andrea. And a lot of these things, too, in sharing information in this context, we're taking an experience that takes months to develop with working with someone individually, and we're trying to really compress in 1 hour and share as much as we can of information from each speaker. So you're getting a bite-sized chunk of something, and so unfortunately in bite-sized chunks in words, you know, it may sound the same too.
This is great, and I really want to thank Andrea for asking the question because it's a really great question, and I'm just kind of mulling it over a little bit. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right with the through line because, you know, the thing is, it's like certain things work in marketing and certain things don't. You know what I mean? I would not be supporting someone fully if I didn't, and that includes, you know, people I talk to in my marketing and in my newsletter, if I didn't kind of share what I know to be true about marketing, which is pretty much in alignment with what marketing coaches who know what they're doing are sharing. That makes sense. It's like that through line you're talking about. And I think, honestly, maybe I'm having a hard time kind of getting into this because, you know, I'm a big fan of modeling. I'll be straight up, you know, especially, you know, when we're just getting started. It's like you kind of have to model to figure out what it is that really is you, you know, which seems counterintuitive. I remember, you know, in writing classes and stuff, it's like one technique that is very, very effective is, you know, if you want to learn how to write a novel, get your favorite really good novel and write it out by hand, word by word. You know, we all learn from other people at first. And then I think there comes a point, I mean, for myself, and I did that and I got really hung up for a while, like, oh my gosh, am I copying this person? Am I doing that person? Am I sounding like someone else? And da-da-da. And I really came to realize that, you know what? I guess there came a point where I was like, okay, I can't worry about this anymore. I'm here to do my thing, and there also came a certain point where I was like, it got uncomfortable to be comparing and to be looking and to be thinking and to be modeling, you know? Is this making any sense?
Yeah, it is, and I think that what you're pointing to is one of the things that you talk about quite a bit, which is, you know, having a system. Because when you have a system, what happens is that you will get results. You'll be able to start your business. You'll be able to start getting clients. You'll be able to start making money. Because let's face it, if you're not making money, you're not going to be in any business for any length of time. And so the differentiation, the unique things that start coming through can only come, I think, once you're feeling secure enough to start taking some risks.
Exactly. And also, it really comes after you get familiar with kind of like the lay of the land.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there also, for me, this is so interesting that this is coming up because I've noticed that one big shift that I've had that I feel is a real sign is that I don't really care if people model me. I have, over the past couple of months, put things out there that then I see my language, I see the types of programs I'm doing, showing up from other marketing coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have no idea if they had the idea first, if I had the idea first, if I said it first or they said, I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you know what? If this person wants to come out and talk about how their list size is irrelevant to their success now, all the more power to them because it's true, you know? Like, one thing that I said in my recent launch was that, you know, I had a list size that was really small, and yet I was able to really create get some fantastic programs launched and filled. And that was something I pointed out because, you know, we get hung up on list size, you know, a little detour here. But then I heard someone else saying the exact same thing, like, you know, 3 weeks later. And I was like, it's the truth, you know? And so if someone else is saying that loud and clear as I have been, great, because I think it's a message that needs to get out. I think, you know, one of the messages that needs to get out is that it's really important to get into service with your clients rather than get stuck in the marketing churning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So to bring this back to Andrea's question, it's like there comes a point where, I don't know, I really don't think about it. Like my mindset is sort of shifted around that.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, that I'll mention is when you have, like, a response or a reaction to something that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I noticed that it's a signpost for me. Like I was on a call recently where I was actually interviewing somebody, and somebody said something, and it sounded to me like, wow, that wasn't a nice thing to say, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I was doing the interview. I was the interviewer, and this person said something that I perceived not to be nice. And then I just kind of, like, suspended my judgment for a little while. And then later on, and I didn't respond to it in any way. I didn't address the person or anything. I just kind of sat with it to kind of see, well, what else is going on here? Is it what I think it is, or is something else going on here too? And anyway, I wound up sending an email totally contrary to what I would have sent if I initially started writing when I first got the surface level, what I call the snorkeling response, right? The, you're snorkeling at the top instead of the scuba dive, right? And it's really interesting because the person actually, the response from the person, and it was about something totally different when I responded, was so open and so warm and everything, and I was like, wow, I'm glad I didn't, you know, react to that first impulse. So, Andrew, this may not be what's occurring with you, but I just want to point out that a lot of times when something doesn't seem to land for us, and we're like, well, what the heck is going on here? What's this all about? Or, you know, sometimes that can just be an indicator that there's more juice in that for you. And then sometimes it could just be that this, that you're not really hearing what's for you. Sometimes with certain speakers, yeah, the light bulbs are going to go on and you're going to like open and you're going to be like, oh, wow, yeah, I get it, I get it, I get it. And then with other people, it'll just be like, you'll just be there and you'll get, you know, you'll get information, you'll get flow. And this is a good exercise. This is something really good to notice. Because when you work with someone, you want to work with someone who your light bulbs go on glaring. It's like halogen all the way, you know.
I wonder, too, that, like, you know, this is so interesting. This is such, I'm just really glad that Andrea brought this up. It's like, you know, if everyone's sort of starting to sound the same, you know, maybe they're not the right person for you. They're not the one that the light bulb is going to go off for,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Andrea, thank you so much. We really got to explore, like, all kinds of stuff in that question, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I could totally talk about, I mean, a whole other call on, you know, how we react to things and our how we perceive things. That's something I've really been paying attention to. And, but actually, I will say this about it, because it really relates to your marketing. You never know how what you say is going to land with somebody, and it's really not your responsibility to know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's like that's, however, you don't know if it's going to cause a breakthrough for them or what the breakthrough is going to be or whatever. Your job is to really show up powerfully and share what you know to be true and share of yourself and say, hey, I'm here to serve and help you.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
You got to let go of how other people perceive it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's we're not for everybody. And that's good news because then that really has us focus on the people that are for us. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
If just getting that is going to move your business.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. Another marketing coach I really admire, I heard him say, it's like, you know, if you didn't get that client for whatever reason, you have been spared.
Yeah. Andrea is actually checking back in, and she wrote another comment. She said, thank you very much. I appreciate your answers, Adele and Elizabeth. Thank you, Andrea. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes, you know, it's people hold back from asking a question that may feel difficult to them. So thank you very much for going to that edge, Andrea, and asking something that put us on an edge, which is really always a good place to play.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I had to think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got a couple. I'm sorry, you were saying?
Oh, no, do you have more questions?
Yeah, I got a couple more questions here. This person didn't write their name, so I don't know who you are, but she says, or he says, Elizabeth, I have a new niche and just beginning. How do I know if I'm charging too much? I haven't started with new prices yet. All right, there may be another question here. Hold on. Seems like people pay more on the Internet, or is it just because there's a bigger market of people out there online than in my mid-sized city? P.S., I'm in Eugene, Oregon, moved from New York via Maine. Welcome to the Pacific Northwest. You'll love it.
Oh, my gosh. I grew up in Maine.
Oh, that's funny.
Spent all this time in New York, and I'm now about to move to Oregon. That is so funny.
It is hysterical.
Okay. What's that?
So I was just going to repeat the question again. So she's got a new niche, and she's just beginning, and she wants to know, how do I know if I'm charging too much?
Well, my first response to that is you're probably not, and I would be willing to bet, like, if you're anything like 99.99999% of the folks out there, you're undercharging rather than overcharging.
Yeah.
Because we tend to undercharge for all kinds of reasons. But to really be helpful here for you, you know, it's true that I think that on the internet here, it's like we have a culture and we're kind of trained to pay certain amounts for certain things. But with your pricing, the bottom line is, what's the value of your service? Are you really in touch with that value and what it means for the client? And can you really communicate that to them? And can you get them in touch with it and really have them connected with it? That is what's going to determine your, you know, whether you're going to get your price or not, really, bottom line. And this is like, I mean, we could talk for an entire 2 hours on this.
Mm-hmm.
So, but really very briefly, what I would suggest to you, you know, you're starting out in a new niche and really getting clear on what their problems are and what those problems really mean for them. What are the costs, you know, financial and emotional, and they exist in both realms no matter what you do, and really, really focus on that to help you determine your pricing. And I'd be willing to bet that if you really spent some time really thinking about, you know, what's this really worth to them and what's this transformation going to do for them, you're going to see that I'd be willing to bet a milkshake, my favorite wager, that you'll probably be like, huh, if you're not like, huh, okay, I'm okay with my prices, you're going to want to raise them, actually.
Yeah. Great response. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question. Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful. We also have another comment regarding the Andrea question from Crystal in Winston-Salem that I wanted to share. There are common threads and information shared, but everyone seems to bring their own passion to the topics, and that inspires me to connect to my own passion. Like Elizabeth says, sharing your passion is what will line us up with what we desire and will line us up with the clients who are in our tribe. Thanks.
Yeah.
Awesome, Crystal. That's so true. And the other thing that came up as you were talking about really honing in on what the problems and what the costs are. One of the problems that I noticed for myself when I started playing around with what my work is, right? So for me, I call it my body of work, right? Which is like in the beginning, you model your work after someone, you know, the people you've learned from and trained with. And then after a while, you start building your own body of work.
Totally.
Right? And so in the beginning, what I noticed was that I wasn't willing to dive into my body of work because of all the reasons you've already mentioned, you know, like, who am I, who wants this, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, in your body of work, you've experienced these things, these problems, and the costs, so you know them personally. As a matter of fact, you have personal stories that can illustrate these points.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mistake I think that many of us make in the beginning is not to dive right into our body of work and go with what seem to be the safer options that we may not really have the personal, deep, in-the-bones experience with.
And I think this leads us right back, you know, to the what makes you different question.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it really starts to resonate with people. That's where you start to attract the exact right people to you.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's where it starts to get a lot more fun and deep. And that's been my experience. So when you really start to dive into that body of work and bring in your own personal experiences, really give yourself credit for your personal experiences, that's when it's just like, wow.
You know,
it's really rich and juicy.
It's irresistible, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. It's irresistible because, first of all, it's authentic. It's your experience. You know it. You've lived it. And you can definitely lead people through it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the kind of thing, and this is another way that you know, and I've been saying this for a little bit because I noticed it for myself. You could actually, on the spot, you could show up at a speaker's meeting, and you could actually speak for at least an hour on the topic.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, folks, that's one of the ways that you can check in with whatever your mission, your movement, your vision, whatever your body of work is. You know, you can speak on it because you know, you don't need any notes, you don't need anything to share your experience and your expertise because it's all in you.
Yeah. It's a great, It's yummy.
It's so yummy. Oh, my
yummy
gosh, yeah.
To be.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
I'm going to take...
Sure. Wait, what's that?
No, I was just going to say, can we take one more question? Because I want you to talk about your Abundant Business Home Study System.
Yeah, and I want to make sure, really quickly, even about the dash through them, I want to make sure I deliver all five of my secrets here.
Well, I can stay on. We can definitely stay on a few minutes after. But
oh, perfect. Yeah, I can as well. I'm happy to stay on for as long as you need. I want to be respectful of everybody's time. Yeah, I can stay for a few minutes after if we need.
Okay, well, then let's do this. Cover the secret first, just in case there are some folks that need to leave at the top of the hour, and then we'll go into the question after that.
Perfect. Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right, secret number four. We've talked about this all along. I'll just put it out there officially. To create lucrative long-term relationships. Right? We've been talking about this a long, the whole time. Really, the money in your business is in your relationships. It's in your relationships. And when you really start to think about this, I could totally go off on this. It really gets amazing that, you know, the work that you do is this exchange of energy, you know, between you and your clients. Money really is an exchange of energy. And that always gets back to the relationship. You really want to be looking at how can you create relationships in your marketing? And, you know, we've been talking about it all along here on this hour. Put yourself in your marketing. Huge, huge, huge. Don't be afraid to share details and your stories. Provide lots of content, really rich, good content. And it doesn't have to, like, take a long time to create or be really – so the trick there with providing – with creating content is to – create a system for yourself that's going to work for you. I happen to be a writer, so I love writing. I write the newsletter. You know, that's worked for me, but it's not what everyone has to do. But it's really important to create that content to help build that relationship. And then another thing that's really important is to follow up consistently, right? You have to be able to connect with people repeatedly over time, right? Via your e-zine, via some other way, however it is, that's going to build a relationship over time. So, and also a relationship with partners, which Adela can talk about at great length. Yeah. So that's secret number five to building your business is really, really keeping your eye firmly on the relationship with your clients, with everyone in your business. That's secret number four. And can I just go into secret number five here?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Secret number five is to ask for action. Ask for action. Here's one thing that my clients will tell you that I always harp on. More clients are yours for the asking, but you have to ask. You have to ask people to take action. And here's where you want to do that. You want to do that on your website, preferably on every page. You have some kind of call to action. In your newsletter, if you're going to be taking the time to send out a newsletter every week, you know, that newsletter is there to build relationships and your business. And so you want to always be promoting something in your newsletter. This is an energy exchange. You provide content, and that in return gives you the space and attention to ask, to make offers, really, to let people know about what you're doing and take invitations about your services. So always be asking for action in your newsletter. In your promotions, you know, you always want to make sure your order links work and it's really clear what you do and, you know, so that, like, it's not hard for people to order from you if they're buying things on the internet, you know. In person, at the end of a conversation, so, like, ask them, may I get your card to follow up with you? I always do that. I'm a marketing coach who does not carry business cards, and the reason why I don't is because I always get the other person's business card and follow up with them. Much, much more important that I get theirs than they get mine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I like that.
And I think people really appreciate that because that's something I make a real priority. It's like you've given me your card at a networking event, you know, and I'm not perfect, of course, in case there's anyone listening who I haven't followed up with, but, like, I'm pretty mindful of that, following up with people at networking events and things. So I'll look at theirs. And asking people at the end of a conversation, so is this something you'd like to move forward with? That is how I ask for business most of the time. Is it something you'd like to move forward with? Very graceful, non-pushy, but you have to ask that question, you know?
Yeah.
So ask for action, you know? And you might feel uncomfortable with this, but I'm really going to ask you to think about it from a different point of view. Think about making it really easy for someone to work with you, to do business with you, to get involved. So like asking for action and making it really clear what you do, you're actually making it really easy for people. And they don't have to think, you know, people are overloaded, distracted, harried, you know. So when you send that extra email asking them, reminding them, whatever, you're actually doing them a service because mm-hmm. you're not asking them to go back to your newsletter, click on the link. It's right there for them.
Yeah. Can you share that bonus one with us?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. The bonus one, the bonus one is consistency. Secret number six to all of this is consistency. I have a phrase about marketing. It doesn't have to be much. It doesn't have to be hard, but it does have to be consistent. Most of my marketing takes place through my newsletter. You know, I am just starting now to really actively build my list. I'm reviewing my website. I'm going to be relaunching, rebranding, like the whole nine yards. And then I will be out there building my list. And I've been in business since, you know, I've been doing the coaching piece for over 2 years now, you know. So the key to my success has really been that consistent reaching out and marketing through just one vehicle, really, you know. The newsletter combined with, you know, in-person stuff, seminars, that kind of thing. But it's the consistency of the communication that's really, really been just pivotal.
Yeah.
So just pick a couple things to do in marketing. If you're feeling overwhelmed, pick three. You know, pick three things to do, whether it's articles, attending networking events, and newsletter. There you go. You know, and just do those on a regular basis. But you've got to be consistent about it.
Yeah, and I just want to illustrate to folks, you know, Suzanne Evans, who was on the program earlier, talked about, you know, she's not that crazy about writing, so her gig is speaking. So
mm-hmm.
she looks to do speaking all the time. I mean, Elizabeth loves to write, and you can tell from her newsletter that she loves to write because of the way that she writes. She writes gloriously. And it's a wonderful, I mean, I'm proof that, you know, that it works. I mean, I'm just one of the many ways that it's proof because she's got loads of clients and a thriving business. But she's on this telesummit today because of the relationship that was built through a newsletter. And that's the other thing. You never know who's reading your newsletter, do you, Elizabeth?
No, you never know.
Yeah, you never know who's reading your
you
newsletter.
Know?
Might be
you
someone who wants
know.
To interview
you.
Exactly,
exactly. And again, you know, your job really is to show up. It's to show up powerfully in the world. I really believe it. You know, if you're in this business where you are supporting people through transformation, you're doing healing work, you know, you're a change agent, as I like to say, you know, your job is to be seen, be visible, to speak your message, to speak your truth, and to be out there and to have some faith that it's going to reach exactly who it's supposed to reach. And when you have that belief, it just makes things so much easier, and I really find, you know, the belief you hold is like the reality you experience.
Yeah.
So, that's a fabulous way to bring the content to the close here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have to actually bypass any more questions, and I apologize, but we're really running over quite a bit. And folks, wait until the last minute to put questions up, so put your questions up early. Can you tell us a little bit about your Abundant Business Home Study System, Elizabeth?
Yeah. It's my it's a digital course, so it's all downloadable, all online. And it really is an 8-step system to get all your marketing systems in place. It's a step-by-step thing. It really takes you from your vision all the way through systems. It's the last step that helps you get all these things in place that you need, like, you know, clarifying your niche or making a decision on your niche, how, you know, who you're working with, like and exactly what you're doing with them, how to create your marketing materials, a very, very simple templates in there for creating your marketing materials, getting out there in a big way. So I share all the different kind of ways. These are tried and true, proven ways of getting out there. So they're like, you know, not kind of like the new things that kind of come and go, but like the things that we know work, like writing, like speaking, like networking, how to do those things effectively.
Mm-hmm.
One of the steps in there is about how to price and package your services, which is something that I mean, that's my favorite part of all of this, is really helping people get into action and get into service by pricing their services, packaging their services in such a way that really inspires their clients to get started. And there's a pricing tips in there, too, so you can price your packages with confidence. And how to create relationships, that's another step. So it's really just a step-by-step system to give you the basic marketing foundation, so you can go out there in a big way and get your message out and also reach the right people so they start coming to you and you're not feeling like you're chasing.
Yeah, so folks can find that at www.marketinggoddess.com/Adela. Again,
yep.
www.marketinggoddess.com/Adela, and it's on the speaker page, and it will also be in the follow-up email for those folks that would like to check it out and see if it's for them.
And I'll just say one more thing about it. It does have a full money-back guarantee, and there's a very generous payment plan. So it's really there to allow people to really get some results and give it a try. And if it's not for you, you just let me know, and we refund your money. It's that simple.
Yeah, well, having a refund is always a very important thing. So there's a no-risk guarantee there. You can try it out, and if it doesn't work for you, then you can contact Elizabeth and let her know. So wonderful.
Yep.
Elizabeth, there's just so much more that I'd love to explore with you. So you are going to have to come back, girlfriend.
I would love to.
Because there's just loads. I know that you're a treasure trove of marketing information. I had a whole bunch of questions around inner game attraction stuff that I wanted to talk about, but we're going to have to save that for another call. And it's just been wonderful to have you at the Conscious Business Telesummit, Elizabeth. I really appreciate your being here.
Oh, yeah, and I just really appreciate you asking me, and I just want to really